SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back a little bit more than 20 into hour three. Day has flown by, and we've done a little bit of everything, and we'll go out to Santa Anita, Quigley's Corner. Tom Quigley joins us. Good morning.
It's time to head west, Steve, for a few minutes. Thursday's quickly becoming my favorite day. Great to be with you, and good job so far with all the Derby coverage. Enjoying it quite a bit.
I appreciate it, and the West Coast figures in prominently, obviously, with every discussion, because between Justify, Bolt Doro, and Midnight Bisou, we've got, Derby favorite, the Oaks second choice, and probably the Derby third or fourth choice. So people watching what's going on in the mornings over there.
And, of course, they have to adapt to the style of racing at Churchill Downs as well as that track itself. Midnight Bisou, you mentioned the current second betting choice probably on the morning line. Given the influx of California money and how impressive she was in the Sandy Oaks, I would not be surprised if she might go off favorite. I know there is some concern that the other filly is a little bit one-paced, one-dimensional, but nevertheless, we'll see how the betting all settles down. The betting market will decide who the favorites are, but in my mind, Midnight Bisou is the filly to beat in the Oaks.
I don't disagree at all, and I am being a little remiss not noting that Raya, Bob Baffert's filly, the UAE Oaks winner and the runner-up to Mendelsohn, obviously, in the UAE Derby, she is in his care. When Baffert was on with us the Monday after the Santa Anita Derby, she was actually on the racetrack for the first time. Bob was watching her. She's a little bitty thing, but boy, she certainly looked good against Abel Tasman the other day.
You know, sometimes looks can deceive you, Steve, and obviously I look at a lot of horses every single day in the paddock at Santa Anita. The best example of a filly who didn't look very well and she consistently did not look like much was Goldakova. When I first saw her come to the United States, I was like, well, come on, how good can she be? And obviously we know that she turned out to be a superstar. So particularly the filly sometimes, you know, as Trevor Denman would say a long time ago, you can't measure their heart. And certainly Goldakova had a big heart. We'll see if Baffert's filly has a big heart. She's certainly demonstrated a hint of class. And right now, Baffert hitting at a 34% win clip here in Southern California for the year. So discount any of his runners at your own peril.
You know, you mentioned one example with Goldakova. I'll give you another one. When we got here, and I'm going to say, what is this, 2008 Blind Luck? And Blind Luck was recovering from some skin disease, and so she had patches of her coat were missing. She was scrawny. She looked, she had a runny nose. I mean, she'd walk around the paddock when she was paddock schooling, and you looked at her and you thought, you got to be kidding. And
you couldn't wait to bet against her, right, based upon her looks, and then she proved you wrong. And it's funny, you know, I'm thinking back over her career in my mind, and I remember when Hollenbauer got her. I think he bought her privately off a maiden claiming victory at Gulfstream Park. Or maybe it was Calder. And I remember he started her out in starter allowance races down at Del Mar. So I don't think he was overly impressed when he first got his hands on that acquisition. But, boy, did she turn out to be a champion.
Well, I was committed to Evening Jewel anyway with Cassidy and Gary Young. I was my die was cast. So, but then to look at her and think, how is it possible that this thing is a streaking filly 3-year-old monster? And sure enough, and you know, you would think to yourself, okay, well, you know, the skin disease, that clears up and can leave scars actually, leave marks, but she never impressed when you were looking at her in the paddock.
No, it's a funny game, right? I mean, there's a lot of different ways we try and win, and obviously we all use different tools in order to be successful, but none of them are always 100% accurate, which is why the game is so great, because you can have the best last race buyer speed figure, you can have the best looking runner in the paddock, you can have the best connections, But there's so many variables in horse racing. I think that's what brings us back so much, is just there's so many things that can go right. There's so many things that can go wrong that inevitably the outcome of the race is always in doubt, excuse me, no matter what, you know, no matter how talented the horse is that you might be playing.
Let's slip in and we'll talk about what's coming up and maybe get, you know, some other opinions as well, Tom, but haven't had a chance to really review what went on this past weekend, and it was a three-day week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and there was notable racing each of the days. In terms of the stakes, the Bobby Abu Dhabi win, nothing per se shocking about that, especially after his very good effort behind City of Light when it came to the Triple Bend. However, the use of Calculator as a pulling guard against Ransom the Moon was really an untoward and ridiculous stunt. And DeSormo being sat down over it, deservedly so.
Pulling guard reminds me of Jerry Kramer for the Green Bay Packers many, many moons ago. But you're absolutely right. Peter Miller played a little bit of pinball with Ransom the Moon. It's funny, my selection on the show last week was Babu Abu Dhabi. He's now 3-for-3 at this distance, but his win was aided by the tactics of rider Kent DeSormo. Stewards wasted no time, at least bringing him in to see them after the race had been concluded and after the race was posted official. It didn't help us as horse players if you played against Babu Abu Dhabi, but nevertheless, DeSormo now hung with a four-day suspension because normally it's three, but this was a second infraction within a certain amount of time. So the stewards thought that his actions were egregious enough that they gave him a four-day suspension. But Ransom the Moon lost nothing in defeat. He was wide every step of the way. You know, his campaign, as we spoke about on the show, sure looked like this was a starting point. He ran a winning race theoretically, but nevertheless, the connections might have been disappointed. But he's back on the beam, perhaps to go back to the Breeders' Cup Sprint. As you know, will be right where you're at, Churchill Downs.
In addition to the sprint, we also had the American, and very nice to see Kenny Black, and what a view, get back in the winner's circle, and very nice win for Stewie Elliott and Carolyn Conley, handling his book, and a terrific mount to get the call on, and what a view, back in view.
Stewart Elliott, the current leading rider at the spring summer meet. That meet is now 2 weeks old, at least for the record book purposes. But nevertheless, Elliott put up a masterful ride going gate to wire on What Have You. Always has had a hint of ability. I talked on the pre-race seminar how What Have You last time not only got hooked up in a speed duel, but also caught a track. Although it was listed as firm, there were rainy conditions that particular day, and he really doesn't like soft turf, but he drew the inside post after the scratch of Fabazi. And he took them gate to wire. Kenji Storm, a disappointing third, although he was hung wide most of the way. I don't know if we'll see any Breeders' Cup mile potential candidates come out of this race, although I'm sure that's the goal. But nevertheless, a nice race, a good graded stakes win. And like you said, always good to see Kenny Black back in the winner's circle. Obviously a very talented rider many moons ago that had some demons of his own, but he has certainly proven to be a good trainer as well.
You know, I want to come back also to the runner-up in here, Colonist, who I keep kind of watching, and I've talked to Hollendorfer about him. I mean, this was a horse that was cut out to be a nice one, and Hollendorfer, I think there's still an expectation that all the dots will connect. He's a Pioneer of the Nile, he's a colt, and Stone Street paid $300,000 for him as a Keeneland November purchase. And Colonist was running late and was just held off at the wire.
Yeah, he's a newly turned four-year-old colt. He's only had 11 career starts. So there's still plenty of upside, but I'm looking at his PPs right now, and it's interesting. Hollendorfer, I think, can't quite figure him out yet in terms of what the key is for his success. The turf. And he put him on the dirt and non-winners, and he put him back on the turf, which he is victorious in at a mile. And he stretched him out, if you remember, in the San Luis race to a mile and a quarter. He showed a little bit of heart, but then kind of backed up and finished midfield fourth in a field of nine. A nice horse, like you said.
Oh, Tom, we're having some phone. You're in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now, Steve?
That's better, yeah.
Cell phones, they're a fad anyway, right?
There you go.
Anyway, I was just talking about Colonist. Hollendorfer trying to figure out what the key is to his success, simply because I don't think they found the right distance or the right surface for him yet.
Well, we're going to keep an eye, because I there's something there, and of course there's still time. I mean, one of these horses that you shouldn't give up on and abandon, because it could be that, you know, as a fully mature horse is when everything will come together for him. Speaking of fully mature horses, how about Ian Wilk showing up in California with 5-year-old gelding Nessie and Sierra Farm and the 1¾ San Juan Capistrano, the old at one time the meet season ender for a long time, and this was right up Nessie's alley. It was pointed to by Sierra and Ian Wilkes, and Mike Smith rides Nessie around to a Capistrano win.
One of the coolest races you'll see visually, Steve, as you know, because you start on the hillside turf course and then effectively make two loops around the main oval on the turf course, and Nessie was very impressive in victory. Didn't have a whole lot to beat. It's interesting. Michael Roan and Ian Wilkes go way back, and so Michael brought Ian to the Eddie Logan suite after the conclusion of the day's races. Ian and I had a chance to speak. I remember him as longtime assistant for Carl Nasker. We spoke a lot about his training career and what the plans are for Nessie. At that point in time, which was just a few hours after the race, he didn't have another race picked out. Obviously, the horse is a turf marathoner, but Mike Smith put up a very, very polished ride. But he was riding much the best horse. The horse went off at 4-5 odds. But Ian Wilkes, never met him before, but a very interesting character and obviously a good horseman.
Well, in addition to the stakes action, what else did we see? And just going back to Friday, we had
Friday. The interesting highlight of the Friday card, which was kind of obscure and probably missed by a lot of people, is in the third race, Art Sherman won with a maiden $20,000 claimer. Her name was Wampus. What made her somewhat famous is she was the daughter of Pepper's Pride. She obviously doesn't have the same ability as her mom does, but nevertheless, it was good to see Art Sherman in there with a somewhat well-bred filly. Did not get claimed, also didn't change leads that day. Kind of grinded out the victory, but Marley's Freedom also was impressive in the next race.
There you go.
We spoke about her finishing second to Selcourt. She didn't disappoint as well. And so it was a good day out at San Anita. We had that, I believe, carryover as well of 68,000 going into the card. So never a dull moment out at the great race place.
Let's look ahead. And saw the couple of stakes coming up on Saturday. And I think that we got a third to draw today.
We do. We have 8 races both today, Thursday, and tomorrow, Friday, and then up to 11 races on Saturday, which seems to be now the norm out at San Anita. Make no mistake, around the country, Saturday is now the big racing day from every single racetrack. Sunday certainly is still the second best day, but it sure seems like horse players and racing fans are embracing Saturday racing no matter what racetrack you might frequent. And the two stakes races are both two-turn races, one on the turf, one on the dirt. Let's first look at the fourth race, which goes as the Santa Barbara. It's a grade 3 going 1.5 miles on the turf course. We probably could rename this the Richie Baltus Invitational because there's 6 runners. 4 of them are trained by Mr. Baltus, but I'll tell you, the morning line favorite is likely going to be on the outside, number 6, Plain Air. She has run 11 times in her career, 1 time under the care of Mr. Baffert. She's won 8 times and finished in the money 10 of those 11 times. She's 2-for-2 at this distance. Her last race by her speed figure is better than any other runner's career best by her speed figure. So it looks like she has them a little bit over a barrel. But if you're looking for perhaps one filly that might be able to threaten her, it would be number 2, in my opinion, Pants on Fire. She just keeps coming at you, coming down the lane. If you take a look at her come-home times, in 2 of her last 3 races, she's come home in 11 and change. She has 3 career wins all over this turf course. She gets Nakatani to ride. Second time that he's going to ride her, he just missed by a nose the other time he rode her at Del Mar during the fall meet. But it looks to me to be like a 2-horse race. Plain Air on the outside and Pants on Fire coming late, Steve.
Nice. And I think we've got, San Simeon for Sunday.
Yeah, the San Simeon on Sunday. But let's look at Saturday's other stakes race on the card. It comes as the very next race, race number 5. goes on. That's the Californian, a mile and an eighth on the main track, $200,000. This serves as the final local prep for the Gold Cup, which will be run on May 26th, effectively 1 month away. And interesting, Soy Fett now comes back second off the layoff. He's now 10 years old. What a claim by Leonard Powell. Took him off Gary Studi for $16,000. He's now earned over $800,000 in his career. And his comeback effort was good, but he's going to have to beat, in my opinion, two other runners. Number four, Dr. Door, trained by that guy, Bob Baffert. 4 for 6 over the Sanita main track, all four career wins over this main track. Really improving. Two races so far this in this calendar year. Both victories. The interesting horse to beat Dr. Door would be drawn right outside of him. The Lieutenant, who's a half-brother to Justify. He's got a hint of ability. He kind of got stopped in an important point of the race last time when he finished a distant second to Dr. Door. I don't know if that would have made up the four-length difference, but what might make up the difference is the extra furlong. They're now going 9 furlongs, a mile and an eighth in distance. But again, a relatively small field with what looks to be a relatively chalky result, which is why I'm sure Hammer kept both races, both out of the pick six and the late pick four sequence.
Well, looking forward to the weekend and today. Anything you got to push today by any chance?
Well, I'll tell you what, looking at tomorrow for a quick minute, Faversham comes back in race number one. You'll recall that's the full yep. brother to California Chrome. Drew outside going a mile in the turf race, gets Stuart Elliott to ride for trainer Art Sherman. That'll be obviously a horse to take a long look at tomorrow in tomorrow's first race. Let's take a look at race number five, Steve. This is always a big swing race because it's always part of the early pick five, the late pick five, and on weekdays also the late pick four. Let's take a look at number six, Moonlight Drive. One highlight from last week we didn't talk about is trainer David Jacobson. He has now won with 4 of his last 9 starters out at Sanita. He's hitting at a 28% win clip. And this runner, Moonlight Drive number 6 in race number 5, is first off the claim for the Jacobson barn. You can see coming down the hill, he's 2 for 4 at this distance. I think he's going to get another good trip today. He's 4 to 1 on John White's morning line. So if you're looking maybe for a key or a single in any of those exotic wagers, take a long look at number 6 for a red-hot barn, Moonlight Drive, in race number 5 out of the Great Race Place.
I also noticed that today in the feature, the mile and a quarter first level allowance Seau back. And this is another horse of Hollendorfer's I've kept an eye on. Finally broke his maiden after a bunch of tries and continues on. In fact, that's a nice group there too. Point Piper, Deal With It Dude for Michael McCarthy. A number of familiar names popularize this. Jim Cassidy has got that Kid Charming in there as well. That's a good race today.
Good race. Seau, as you mentioned, a half to Super Saver. A couple of keys to Seau's improvement recently. Blinkers came off 4 races ago, and he's been united with Tyler Connor, his jockey, for the last 3 races. All 3 races have been very good. You can see he's got an improving buyer speed figure pattern. He's a juicy 5 to 1 in a relatively small field. If you think he's got further improvement, He might be worth a play as well, particularly based upon his breeding.
Tom Quigley, everybody. Quigley's Corner on Twitter and on the feed. And of course, race days at Santa Anita. And Tom, looking forward to talking next week. We'll get some Derby Oaks, some final thoughts from you. We'll have those cards drawn and see what you think. Add your voice to the list of analysis, the analysts that'll join us heading toward Derby Oaks.
Can't wait, Steve. Thanks again for the time, and we'll check in with you next Thursday.
Tom Quigley, everybody. Quigley's Corner. Santa Anita action resumes today at 3 o'clock. Let's take a break, probably our last of the morning. We're at Churchill, and kind of come back and touch base with Rich Yang in Vegas, and haven't had a chance to talk to Rich. My fault, but this is a good time of the year for Rich and for his book, Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies. And a lot of people, they're drawn to Derby in the Triple Crown season, with or without Gronkowski. Rich Yang joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-464.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Churchill Downs, as is Dick Downey, the DowneyProfile.com, as well as the treasurer of the Turf Writers and Broadcasters Association. Speaking of turf writers, Rich Ang joins us. And Rich, of course, perfect opportunity and timing to connect. We've been remiss the last few weeks. And Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I miss you. I miss you guys.
That's my fault. We got when we were on the road, it just kept blowing the turn. It was just too many ground balls being fired at me at once.
You know, Steve, no apologies needed because I follow you religiously on Twitter and I've seen your divergent paths. So I know you're a very, very busy man. You're one of the busiest men in horse racing. I congratulate you for all you do, man.
Not at all. It's a good time too to get going here because next week we'll talk about Derby selections. But you know, this every year, Rich, when we get close to Triple Crown, and of course there was so much conversation about Gronkowski's potential involvement in the Derby and what that could mean for new players. Well, with or without Gronkowski, this is always a good time to talk about your book and Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies. Pretty much this era's introductory volume for people that want to learn the basics of the game and the basics of handicapping and wagering.
Yeah, thank you very much, Steve. And, you know, quite frankly, the the book has been out for more than a decade now, and I get reports from Wiley Publishing as far as the sales, and they spike basically twice a year, Steve. They spike around the Triple Crown, the Derby in particular, and they spike around the Breeders' Cup. And it makes perfect sense because that's when the horse racing interest is the highest in our country, and that's when the most newcomers start to say, hey, you know, maybe I should learn something more about this game. And obviously, we've been involved in horse racing for a long time, you, me, and a lot of the listeners, and we all love this game from the bottom of our hearts. And, you know, when newcomers try to learn about horse racing, it's very difficult to explain to them because it's a very complex sport, very intimidating, you know, for the first-time goer. And the idea of betting on horse racing for dummies, part of the Dummies brand, is to try to eliminate that stigmatism and take somebody's hand and guide them through from A to Z. And hopefully I've been able to succeed over the years with the thousands of readers who've been who picked up the book.
For the people, Rich, that literally are intrigued and are going to delve in, what is the first important lesson, whether it's looking at the Derby or just being confronted with this game and in the early chapters and in the introduction? How do you suggest people that, you know, maybe listening to us early on in their development, what do you suggest to people how they wade into the waters of horse play?
Oh, sure. You know, I think most of us, when we went to the track for the first time, Steve, we either went with a family member or a friend or friends, and certainly it's a wonderful sport to enjoy in a group setting. And so, you know, hopefully there's somebody in that group that, you know, knows something about horse racing that can kind of, you know, help you, you know, explain some of the things if they haven't read the book already. But you got to start from somewhere, and that's one of the beauties of it. You know, as far as the gambling aspect, you know, certainly, you know, our game is built for gambling. I mean, for many decades, horse racing had a monopoly on paramutual betting and legal betting, and it was one of the most popular sports in the country. And even though it's waned a little bit, there's still a very extremely hardcore amount of people who follow horse racing and bet on it. But, you know, as far as the betting, I think one of the mistakes that, you know, a newcomer would make is to think they could win, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 the first visit or two and hit a pick six and things like that. I you know, just from reading my book, if my suggestions are always to try to keep things simple at first, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, straight bets, win, place, and show. If people want to get into exotics, I would suggest is limit it at first to two-horse bets, which is the daily double, two race bets, which are the daily double, and two-horse bets, which are either a quintile or exacta. But, you know, keep things simple at first, because the most fun you can have in horse racing is when you're making money and cashing tickets. So the best chance to do that is with the higher percentage plays.
When it comes to preparing for Derby, what, you know, for those that are seeing information come in waves, they're going to look at PPs with 20 horses for the first time if they've never played the Derby before. What's the general approach, Rich, from your perspective?
Well, there's no question that at this time of year for the Derby, there is information overload because there are so many people who are, you know, have expertise, and everybody has an opinion on the Kentucky Derby from the biggest professional to the biggest amateur. Everyone becomes a horse racing fan on that Saturday and has a choice in the race. But, you know, as far as, you know, what a newcomer should do. You know, one of the things that I find interesting, Steve, in the recent decades with the 20-horse field is we used to see horses that would go off at, you know, 99-1, 90-1, 80-1, 70-1. Now, because of the influx of newcomers and the general interest that the race generates, you rarely see a horse higher than 50-1. Even horses that, quite frankly, you know, don't have a whole lot of chance – and 50-1 is an underlay. So, you know, while it's kind of cute to, you know, to bet on a name or to bet on a color or bet on this or that, you know, if a newcomer really wants to cash on the Derby, I think they should probably, you know, think in terms of more logical type horses and thinking, well, if I catch this 50-1 shot, I'll make $100. Now, you know, that those kind of horses just don't come in very often in the Derby, much less on an everyday basis. You know, a horse like Mind That Bird is like a lightning bolt from the sky. But, you know, as far as trying to cash tickets for the Kentucky Derby, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, some of the logical horses, and, you know, which include horses that we've all been talking about lately, the horses like Justify or Audible or Mendelssohn, Magnum Moon, Bolt Diaro. I mean, all these horses have legitimate chances to win this race. They're going to, you know, any horse that has that much talent, they're still going to need some racing luck, and they're going to need a good draw on Wednesday to, so they don't get buried on the rail or something like that. But, you know, betting logical horses, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. The 50-1 shots just don't come in that often.
We've had, and we'll continue through tomorrow to kind of have the prequel conversations before we talk final decisions. In terms of your bankroll, Rich, when you bet Derby, how much do you spend? Maybe use the weekend, because Oaks, you know, the Oaks Derby doubles involved, the Oaks Turf mm-hmm. Classic Derby pick three. How much do you put up against Derby, and what is your principal go-to bet? And whether it's, you know, keying off of one horse, or, you know, whether you take a group of contenders and you know, key off of them.
You know, that's a fantastic question about, you know, the actual betting part, because, you know, in my book, I write about the fact that, you know, it's one thing to learn how to handicap, but if you don't bet correctly, or you don't spend enough time, you know, building tickets or planning the type of wagers you want to invest in essence, you're like throwing good handicapping out the window if you don't bet correctly. I know for the Kentucky Derby, for the last, you know, couple of years, I've actually organized a team ticket, and usually generate maybe $1,000 or $1,500, something like that, to invest. And, you know, what I will do is, you know, when I handicap the Friday and the Saturday cards, is I just try to figure out, you know, what are my best chances of trying to make a score without, you know, going too heavy on, you know, a certain wager or not. The thing about the Kentucky Derby and the weekend is there's more recreational money that comes from, you know, quite frankly, the newcomers and the novices. And if they don't bet smartly, you know, through the pools, you create overlays in a lot of scenarios. And also the pools are so gigantic that, you know, professional gamblers or people who play all the time really like the ability to maybe cash some juicy prices and turn a little into a lot. So, you know, I will take a look at, you know, I rarely bet pick sixes, and quite frankly, unless there's like a mandatory payout situation. But I will bet pick fives, and I will bet pick fours. The double between the Oaks and the Derby is a terrific bet. And because of the size of the pool, you'll have 14 in the Oaks, and you'll have 20 in the Derby. And, you know, a lot of things can happen. So that's a bet I definitely participate in. But, you know, sometimes just catching doubles and exact, as I go back to that against Steve, you know, nothing wrong with just, you know, catching a nice hit and moving on. But, you know, those kind of decisions can be made right on race day. But as far as planning ahead, I will definitely participate in pick fours and pick fives.
When it comes to leveraging the opinion, Rich, because you said something that it makes me think to ask as a follow-up. He's got about 2 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Casting a wide net versus heavying up and taking a narrow approach and, you know, betting a higher increment. What's your preference on a day like Derby Day?
Well, you know, because of the size of the fields, most of the fields are large, and there's a lot of stakes races. They do a great job, you know, recruiting horses to run for the big purses. It is not unusual to find live 10, 12, 15-1 shots because they're really grade one animals. And if for whatever reason, you know, they're a big price or somebody else gets overbet. So, you know, going deep in these, like the pick four pool and using two, three, four, five horses, I try to avoid using the all button, although every once in a while it's sometimes a race is a scrambled egg and you're tempted to hit it. But, I mean, if you give yourself a chance for a couple of these bombs to come in, you want to beat favorites in a horizontal wager like that. If you can beat two or three favorites, you're going to be handsomely rewarded. So you don't have to go crazy sometimes. Just got to beat favorites if you can.
Well, we're going to look forward, Rich, to next week. And, of course, Rich's analysis in terms of everyday Southern California, Santa Anita and Del Mar, racedaylasvegas.com. And I'm going to assume that your Oaks and Derby analysis will be at Brisnet.
Yeah, I haven't checked in with Eddie DeRosa yet, but I've been on the team for quite a few years, and I look forward to it. You do a great job marketing those handicappers, so I look forward to doing that again, yes.
Well, we'll also talk to you and get some broad opinions and maybe some specifics as well. Rich, for those of you that are fairly new and you are starting your handicapping library, Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies by Rich Eng, and... Rich is also available. You got questions, you can Rich Eng for Pro Pick on Twitter. And as always, terrific to connect with Rich. We'll get his Derby Oaks opinions next week. Rich, good to talk.
Hey, one quick push. Next
sure.
Friday, I'll be doing a handicapping seminar at the Sunset Station in Las Vegas, 6 o'clock local time Friday night next week. If anyone's in Vegas, we'd love to see you out there.
Well, that's and we'll remind people of that as well. Beautiful. Rich Eng, Rich does a lot of those. And go and see him. Got to pull up and send you out into the race day. It is Thursday, as mentioned, and we've got a broader wagering menu today in terms of venues and Santa Anita back for you. And, of course, Belmont opens tomorrow. But Prairie Meadows, day one as well. Keeneland back, Penn National, Hawthorne. Gulfstream, Golden Gate, Evangeline, Delta as well later. So take some shots. Best of luck if you're playing. Weekend preview at the races from Churchill Downs tomorrow. If you missed anything, 6 to 9 replay or at the website. Archive, podcast, stream. Want to thank everybody and... that includes Gary Pomisano, Pat Cummings, Jen Reutz over at the Horse Park and the start of the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event. Tom Quigley, Rich, Steve Askin as well. Pat Cummings, too. Fun day. Talk to you in the morning, everybody. Good luck on your plan at the races.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier. XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Form's Dick Girardi. Santa Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Bick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.